Good morning, church.
Kya tumhe sat rahe?
Good morning, church.
Kya tumhe sao?
It is a great joy for me to be with you again.
Ke tsabo ho nna re ke be le lona hape.
Bring the word of God.
Ho re ke tlo le fa lentswe la Modimo.
So please turn in your Bibles to the book of Psalm, Psalm 42.
Ha re buleng ho di pesaleme 42.
Psalm 42, we read together from verse 1 to verse 6.
Rebala ho tloa ka verse 1 ya verse 6 ka sothere. Thotokiso e nang le thuto ya baraba kora e kapetsweng botsamaisi wa divine. Tsale ka khama e le labela metsi a melatswana. Le moya wa ka o labalabela jwalo. O labalabela wena Modimo. Moya wa ka o nyoretse Modimo, o nyoretse Modimo ya phelang. Ke tla ya neng ke yo hla ka pela Modimo. Ke phela ka dikhapa motshare le bosiu. Ha ka mehla ho ntse ho tho ho nna. O kae Modimo wa hao? Modimo wa ka wa khashoha. O khashoha ha ke hopola tsena. Ke ne ke tsamaya mokolokong. Ke o etelletse pele ho ya tlung ya Modimo. Hara meho ya thabo le ya teboho. Ha matshwele a ya moketeng. Moya wa ka o nyahametseng, o hloretseng ka sefubeng saka, tshepa Modimo, ke sa tla nne ke mmoke, yena mopholosi wa ka le Modimo wa ka.
To the choir master, a maskal of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you, O God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I will go with the throng and lead them in the possession to the house of God, with great shouts and songs of praise, the multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hamon, from Mount Mizar. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. The title of this message, The Outcry of a Troubled Soul. So friends, our souls can be troubled, our souls can be cast down, our soul can be depressed for many different reasons. You think of what is going on in this world, you think of the things happening in countries like Zimbabwe, where a leader is autocratic above his people. You think of the things happening in countries like Nigeria, where Boko Haram, what is happening there, they're taking people into captivity. You think of the things happening in Gaza, you think of what is happening to our brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. You think of all the trouble that is happening to the children of God across the whole world. Those things bring depression. Those things bring some kind of trouble in our souls.
The
trouble also comes because of a loss of a loved one. Some trouble can come because we have lost your business, you have lost your spouse, you have lost your child.
All
these things are sorrowful, all these things are troublesome within our hearts. But the greatest trouble a soul can experience is to be detached from the presence of God, to be detached from God Himself.
Evanto mahlomola a maholo a ka hlela moya go rene moya o a go hane le modimo le boteng ba modimo.
A soul without communion with God.
Moya o sna kamano le modimo.
As we all know that communion is one of the very important aspects of our relationship with God.
Jole ka ha o tsiba rene kamano ya rona lentho le modimo ke ntho bohlokwa.
There are many things, my friends, which troubles the soul. Many things in which a soul could be troubled.
You
can be a Christian in isolation from the house of God. I think we see something of that kind in this psalm.
You
can be a Christian suffering attacks from the enemy.
It
can be anyone without God, anyone outside the saving relationship with God.
Anyone
in sin.
It
can be also people not in sin, all those who are in Christ Jesus.
Why do
those in Christ Jesus experience trouble in this world?
Because we are
living in a foreign land, a world of sin.
In
enmity with God.
A world
where sin continues day by day, and tribulation upon the children of God is experienced on daily basis.
Then we learn,
or we see, that apart from God, there can be no fulfillment. Apart from God, there can be no peace within in our hearts.
So there are
three things I want us to draw from where we just read this morning.
Things that should be
the ultimate cry of a troubled heart.
First, is a thirst
for God. Secondly, to seek God's presence.
Thirdly,
to hope in God.
So this
psalm opens with an overwhelming encouragement to any depressed, to any troubled or outcast soul.
A thirst
for God.
As we read
this psalm, it becomes quite obvious that this psalmist writes this psalm and is standing far from God. But this distance between him and God is now getting into him.
He
seems to realize that there is nothing that can fill a gap between God and man. There's nothing that can fulfill the space that is within him. That gap that only God can
fulfill. So he
begins by complaining, and his complaint is the fact that he is far from God. His complaint is a longing for a fellowship with God himself.
And
he expresses this longing in these words of verse
1. As
a deer pant for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. So his problem is that he is distant from God. He is physically and spiritually separated from God.
Tata ba hae kore ne ke ntwe motele go ne o ntwe a go bane le ntwe le ntwe modimo mmeleng le moyeng.
Look at what it says in verse 6.
Bona o reng ho verse 6.
My soul is cast down within me, and therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hamon, from Mount Mizar.
O verse 7 o re moya wa ka o nyahame ka o ke o hopola modimo ke le naheng ya Jordan le thabeng.
This one tells us vividly that this man is spiritually far from God. Verse 6 tells us and he testifies that this man is physically far from God. So this man feels the weight, he feels the whole weight of the absence of the presence of God deep down his heart. He feels the weight of walking through life without God. Then he stands there far, but he remembers God's favor in his life. He remembers how he had great communion with God. Listen to what he says here in verse 4. These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I will go with the throng, how I will go with the multitudes and lead them in processions to the house of the Lord with great shouts of praise, a multitude keeping festival. So he remembers this great commune that he used to have with God. How he used to go to the house of the Lord with the multitudes. How they all together used to sing to the Lord and keep festivals inside the house of the Lord. Remember, he's standing far.
He's thinking
of the great things that used to take place in the house of the Lord.
As he thinks
of this thing, he says, for God. He says, for this perfect commune with God. And as we open this psalm, we read this psalm, we remember the perfect commune that God used to have in the Garden of Eden with man. He used to walk closer with man, he used to speak to them.
But
we remember as well that commune is destroyed in chapter 3. Where man fell into sin. But as we read chapter 3, immediately we see in verse 15, the same commune, the same fellowship is restored through the works of the seed of the woman. He who was to come and bruise the serpent's head.
You
see hope there that someone is coming to restore a relationship between God and man. Which is why now, if you are in Christ, you are no longer governed by the sinfulness of your heart. You are no longer governed by your corrupt hearts, but you are governed by a new heart.
Your
old heart is not merely been modified, but it has been replaced. Which is why now we see something quite opposite in this psalm where we just read. We see something that man is now thirsting for God.
But
after the fall, man was not able to thirst for God.
But I say,
someone came and restored man. Now, this psalm is able to say, as a deep and for flowing stream, this psalm is able to thirst for God. He realizes that his life is empty without God.
I don't
know, my friends, if you've also realized that your life or life is empty without God.
So we
look at this psalm. There seems to be something special, something very dear to the soul of the psalmist. Something that will make him complete, something he longs for with all of his heart.
In
verse 1, we have a picture of a deer.
Who
will search and find the source of water and cast itself into the water and start to drink and start to be refreshed. I grew up in a place where hunting was not illegal. I had a friend who involved himself with the business of hunting from the age of 14 due to some circumstances that he had to grow under. And as we spent time together, I learned a lot from this guy as far as hunting is concerned. I learned that when a deer have ran from the enemy for so long, he begins to forget about the enemy behind, then he begins to be thirsty, and then now he's running, he's motivated by the thirst that he has within him. So the thirst motivates the deer to thirst for the flowing stream, to thirst for the running water.
So
it keeps running no longer because of the enemy behind, but because of the thirst. He keeps running because of the anticipation of the flowing streams. So even the same way, brothers and sisters, the troubled soul recognizes that his trouble is greater than he can bear. His trouble is greater than anything in this world. His trouble is greater than physical suffering of his world. His trouble is greater than the attacks of the enemy in this world. He's distant from God. And because of that distance between him and God, the enemy now has something, a power against him.
And
then he tests for God. Why does he test for God? Because only God can quench the thirst of the soul. Only God provides living water. Look at verse 2, he says, my soul. This man cares about his soul.
mona ena ona ona nto ona nto khataletse moya wa
ha. I don't know if we care about our souls.
Na na ke tsebe go nanto nanto
khataletse moya wa. My soul, it means all my nature, all that is within me, my innermost self thirsts for God.
Ha moya o go lala nto tsohle tsotsa tsotsa ka ha o yena o rene tsotsa tseo di nyoretse modimo.
He thirsts to be with God. There's a difference to sit at home and thirst for God and thirst to be with God and taking an initiative to be where God is.
Asa nyogotse modimo fela e pa osa nyogotse lorene abe o modimo ka pa abe le modimo tsena onyoga ho kete onyoga o to ho fete ho e fetu hang.
But at the same time, it's not destined to be just in the sanctuary, to just come here and enjoy the ordinances of the Lord. He's thirst for God.
He's
thirst for fellowship with God.
He's thirst
to taste the presence of God. He says in verse 2, he thirsts for the living God. So he realizes, he knows that God is alive. So he will not live his life like a dead man if his God is alive. So he will long to go to the God who is alive.
Ana phila vele into jole ka ntumo tashule a tsaba go mudimo o wa phila jole o batla yena enwa mudimo ya philang.
Doesn't this remind us of the words of Job? I know my Redeemer lives.
Ha o hopotse into ento Job na ha re ke a tsaba go mopulusi wa ka o wa phila.
I know my Redeemer lives. I know that God is alive and only him gives living water. Only he can give life to men.
Job onto bila re ke a tsaba go mopulusi wa ka.
He gives us the Spirit. The Spirit who is now a channel of God's love to the soul of the believer. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whosoever believes in me, as the scripture have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Friends, let us not be like camels. He enjoys living in the desert. Because a camel has its own water within.
He's
built for deserts. But when that water is finished, the camel dies. So a camel will not pant for flowing streams. But a deer will always pant for flowing streams because it has no inward resource within it. I'm saying a deer will always pant for flowing streams because it does not have inward resources. The deer knows that when it's sitting in the wilderness, the enemy will come. When it's in a foreign land, the enemy will come. It has to run and it will be thirsty.
It
has to come to God. So as a child of God in this world, my friends, you should not look within yourself. You must always look outside yourself. There is no help within yourself. Help is outside you. But not from your friends. Help is unto the Lord. The deer runs to the flowing streams. And the psalmist say, in the same way, I thirst for you, O God. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift up my eyes unto the hills. From where does my help come? That is what a deer does. A camel will never do that. Are you a deer or are you a camel?
You're
a child of God, you are a deer.
This
for God. So verse 1 tells us then the difference between a believer and an unbeliever, my friends.
A believer
thirsts for God. But secondly, a troubled soul seeks God's presence. We can see here that the psalmist seems to have experienced and enjoyed the presence of God in the past. We look at his response to the depression, the trouble of his soul. He does not stop by thirsting for God, as we just said, he thirsts for God. He doesn't stop there. He inquires. Look what he says here in verse 2. When shall I come before your presence? This is a man who has been suffering for the fact that he is far from God. But this is not a man who has been suffering and now he wishes to die. But he reveals what is within his own heart during his trouble here on earth.
He says
to himself, I want to draw near to God. When shall I come before you? When will you make a way for me to appear before you, O God? How long will I be so distant? How long will I be distant from you, O God? He inquires from God. A Christian speaks to God. A Christian does not live his life and look unto himself. When shall I come before you, O God? I thirst for you. But when shall I come? A troubled soul seek the presence of God. Friends, this is a man whose eyes have seen the glory of God. He has seen the beauty of Christ in his church. This is a man who loves God. He loves to come to God. This is a man indifferent to the world that we live in today. You know, the world, even on the day of the Lord, it doesn't look like the day of the Lord anymore. The world will do everything possible to be far from God. But this man will do anything it takes to be with God. My soul thirsts for you. This man is indifferent to the culture of our days.
We organize
some kind of gatherings and
this is the kind of
man who anticipates the things of God, to contemplate about God day and night, Sunday to Sunday.
Empa ke motho a nanana ka modimo tsatsi le leleng.
So that is why now he wants to be restored to the privilege of the sanctuary for worship. He wants to be united with the people of God in prayer and praise. In the words that he's saying here in verse 2 and in verse 1, we can sense the love for God. We can sense the longing for worship in the heart of this man.
So let's go on to verse 1 and to verse 2. He calls him to be far from God.
So he craves for the living God.
While sinners crave
for the world and its pleasures. So he feels deeply troubled to be deprived from the worship of God, from the public privileges of worship.
Verse 2.
When shall I come and appear before you, O God? He seeks God's presence. Listen what Isaiah 55 verse 6 says. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is still near. So what is in the heart of this psalmist is not the loss of his crown as a king. That is not what he longed for so much. It is not the breaking of peace in his kingdom. He has a deeper longing than that, my friends. He has a deeper need than any worldly achievements can give. He longs for God. He knows that only God is the strength of his heart. Only God can give him that bread of life. We remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. We know these words. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and I am lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
A troubled soul.
Distant from God.
Thirst
for God. Seek the presence of God. Because come to me. He understands these things. So we need to remember, my friend, that only God possesses the gift of life, and only God can impart such a gift of life unto the soul. This psalmist recognizes that nothing can satisfy him outside God.
He thirsts
for the living water, the Spirit of God.
Himself,
who is now a flowing stream to the soul of a believer. Look at verse
4.
These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I will go to the with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with great shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival.
Kashoha, ke o eteletse pele o ya tlung ya modimo ha ga mehoa ya thabo le ya teboho ha matshwele a ya moketeng.
The overwhelming sorrows.
Mahlomola anana ana mohlola mothema.
His distance from God.
Ka bana ona le hole le modimo.
The mockery of the enemy. All these things draws him to God. It does not push him away from God.
Saul is
pulling him to God.
Saul
drags him to seek God. I remember we were doing evangelism not long time ago. A lady down there, he said unto us, I will never be a Christian.
Then ask
her why. She said, why did God drop me in such hell like this? We tried to explain, but she refused to understand. And I realized that she chose to allow the troubles of this world to choose her path. She allowed the troubles of this world to push her away from God. But listen to what the psalmist says. In the very same situation, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul. When I remember these things, I seek the presence of God. Because painful reflection of the great joy of the past are now awakened within me. As I remember these things, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul. I remember how I was united with God. And not how I was only united with God, but how I was united with the people of God, together keeping festival, together singing praise unto the Lord, giving thanks unto Him. I remember how their presence motivated me, how their presence helped me to find fulfillment, to find peace in God. So he concludes within his own heart that he would rather be in God's presence than remaining in the world. I would rather be with God or else I will faint. I would rather be with God or else I will lose my mind. I will enjoy my salvation in the presence of God. I will not be kept far from God. But I will come draw near to my Savior. Psalm 16 verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forever. Friends, a troubled soul seeks the presence of God. A depressed soul seeks the presence of God. A child of God who lives in this world, so depressing, seeks the presence of God. Thirdly, and finally, the question is, why should a troubled soul thirst for God? Why should a troubled soul seek for God? Why should a troubled soul seek for God? because hope can only be found in God.
So
if you read in your Bibles in verse number 5, it says, hope in God. Where does this begin? He begins first by admitting the problem within himself. He begins by seeing that the distance between him and God is really not a good thing. So he admits there is a problem. But he's not accepting the problem. He's admitting but not accepting it. Look how he speaks to himself. In verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? So he's questioning himself. He's not saying that a Christian will not suffer spiritual depression. No. But this is a man. But this is a man who will not lie to himself and begins to believe his own lies. He will admit there is a problem. He admits there is spiritual depression. He admits that there is no answer within him. There is no answer outside him if that is not in God. Then he lifts up his eyes unto the hills where his help comes from. He says, hope in God. That is where a troubled soul will find his strength, my friend.
He will
lift up his eyes unto the hills. He will find renewal in the presence of God. He will find the renewal of his happiness, of his joy and his gladness. Begin by an argument with yourself, within yourself. My soul, why are you cast down within me? Hope in God. So this is the time where your faith must reason with your fears. Your faith must argue against the sorrows within you. This is the time where your sorrow must feel the strength of your faith. As sorrows and depression strikes, it must be stricken back by your great faith. He says in verse 5, as I've said, hope in God, but he continues to say, my salvation. That's the name, another way that follows hope in God. He starts verse 6 by saying, my salvation, my God.
Okay. Tsepa Modimo, yena mo pulusi wa.
Yebo. Tsepa Modimo, ke yena mo pulusi wa gao.
Trust in God and he is your salvation.
That is where the psalmist is pointing us. It reminds us of the great salvation that is found through Jesus Christ. He reminds us of what God has done for the world of sin. That he sent his son into the world, that whosoever believes may not perish but have eternal life. Hope in God, my salvation. So in verse number 5, if you read from the King James there, it says, for the help of his countenance. I am told that in the original, the word rendered help is in the plural. So it speaks of salvation, incomplete salvations, salvation now, tomorrow, and forever. Hoping God, for that is the God we serve. The one who saves us today, tomorrow, forever. Doesn't this remind you of what the Apostle Paul says here in Philip chapter number 1 verse 6?
Are you hoping to be Philippi now? Or Philippi chapter 1 verse 6?
This is what the Apostle Paul says. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The
psalmist reminds us of the great salvation of Christ. The one who hanged on that old rugged cross and said, "It is finished." Yes,
hopetehile.
Nothing to add, nothing to subtract. It is finished. It is complete. I've done the work. So my friend, a soul in turmoil, a soul in trouble, must hope in God. The only true reflection of a troubled soul is a desperate need for God, a desperate need for help, a desperate need for salvation. Look back to verse number 3. My chains have been my food day and night.
Let me
ask you this question, my friend. When last have you seen a grown-up man in tears? Not in tears of the loss of a spouse, of the loss of a child, of the loss of a business. A man in tears for the fact that he's away from God, for the fact that he's not in the presence of God. Have you seen such a man?
Friends,
do you care so much about your salvation that you will even cry should you be deprived an opportunity to be in the presence of God? He speaks of his tears as his need. In other words, he says he cried so much as to lose his appetite. This is a man, once he sees the presence of God, he cannot eat. He does not act like he wants God, but he continues with his life as nothing is happening. So the whole world is crushed within him. We see in verse 5 that even his enemies seem to enjoy the situation. They say, "Where is your God?" Where is your God? That's what happens when you are far from the presence of God. You become the daily bread of the enemy. You are haunted by him. To become his daily bread. But we see from this psalm that to survive things like this in this world, you must hope in God. You must lift up your eyes unto Jesus, the only hope of our salvation. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says.
Chapter 5 verse 5. Apostle Paul says,
"Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured unto our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us." So when we hope in God, friends, we don't hope in nothing. So when we hope in God, it means that we have faith in God. We have faith through His Son. So what should be the outcry of a troubled soul? What should be the outcry of a sinner? What should be an outcry for someone far from God? What should be an outcry for a Christian who distanced himself from God? What should be our outcry in this world which is against the children of God? Thirst for God, thirst for the living God. You must long for spiritual satisfaction than worldly cares. And you must distance yourself from anything that is called a relationship with God that is in distance, because there is no such thing as
that.
Secondly, seek God's presence. Because in his presence there is fullness of joy. Deadly hope in God, hope in his salvation, hope in his Son, hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that though it seems that sometimes wickedness triumphs over righteousness, it seems sometimes that the kingdom of the enemy, the kingdom of darkness, is victorious over the kingdom of light. That is why he says, they say unto me all day long, where is your God?
Remember, even if it's so,
hope in God. Because he's sovereign, he is a ruler over all things. He sent his Son into the world to die for our sins, to take away our trouble from us. He sent his Son into the world to give us hope. So my friend, happiness is far from you unless you hope in God. Happiness is far from you if you do not thirst for God. Happiness is far from you if you do not seek the presence of God. Amen.
Amen.
And let us pray.
We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is active, is powerful. We thank you, Lord, that we can still trust in you even today, Lord. That we should not be discouraged. We should not let our hearts be troubled. Mm. But to trust in you, Lord. To seek you, to be like this day, Lord. That pains for you, to also pains for you, Lord. To want to seek you, to want to go to this living water, Lord. That brings life into us, Lord. May this word, Lord, bear fruit in the lives of your children, Lord, to desire you, to cry, Lord, for your presence in their lives, to cry to know you more and more, Lord. We give you praise and honor today, in Jesus' name, amen.
Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.